Here's another one. When you're out shopping, you can...
And you see a man.
And you see a man.
Okay.
You know, if he looks at you...
You're in.
You're
in. You're in. Get those digits.
Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host...
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
So I'm going to go ahead and kick off with this. Katie and I always talk about how feet, people find feet funny.
Feet are the funniest thing.
I could not.
I don't know. We don't know why. We don't know why. It's just like, say foot.
Yeah.
Give an improv group a suggestion of foot.
A foot.
And everything.
Toe, yeah. Even, if you want to go there. So I was just Googling feet to see if I could find out any information about feet. I didn't find anything that cool, but I found this. Man tumbled 1,200 feet into a volcanic crater and lived.
No.
I read all the articles I could find.
What a fall.
Continuously. So it was a long tumble down the crater lake caldera. So a caldera is on top of a volcano. Sometimes there can be a lake in it. It's like the depression on top.
Okay.
Generally when it's not active.
All right.
So when the lava bursts out, the caldera breaks open.
Okay.
So it's like a little bowl. So he landed a mere 100 feet above the water. So this one was filled with water.
Oh.
If you fall into one of those, you're fucked.
Really?
Like, yeah. It's just like, you know, falling into a lake, and it's very difficult to get out of it because it's a crater.
Oh, right.
So it's not like you can scramble up.
Scamper up the side.
Or scamper, if you will.
Yeah.
The call came in Sunday afternoon. A 22-year-old man had slipped and fallen 1,200 feet. Oh. He was wearing only a T-shirt. Skinny jeans and Vans.
Get out.
What the hell?
What was he doing in skinny jeans, first of all?
The man was cold and injured, no doubt. One of the rescuers called the incident epic, mostly because the man survived a fall that's killed everybody else who's taken him in the past. So he just tumbled and happily landed on a snowbank 100 feet from just dropping into the caldera. Because that's basically like dropping into a volcano, people.
Yeah.
You know, like... National Park Rangers came to the rescue. They repelled.
Was he a virgin?
Yeah, was he? Yes. It was the volcano, like, finally.
Yeah.
They repelled 600 feet down before they could even see the dude.
How did they know that he fell?
I don't know.
Oh.
Maybe somebody like, did you see that dude?
He just fell.
He was really pretty fell pretty far down the caldera. Because the technical rappel was taking so long, the Rangers asked for assistance from the sheriff's office and the rescue team. Helicopter crew responded, but the steepness of the terrain and the wind and the height of the trees meant they couldn't get the chopper very low, so they couldn't get him that way. The rescuers had 279 feet of cable to hoist the man to safety. They used all but 6 feet of it. This guy is very lucky. Any further down, and it would have been almost impossible to get him because they couldn't fly into it.
Right.
So they had to rappel down to get him. And they said, Bob Cockle, Vice President of Air Rescue Systems, said, it's actually amazing it was a rescue and not a recovery.
Wow.
So
this guy's meant to be on this planet for some reason.
I guess. Because of the
length
of
the cable. With his Vans and skinny jeans.
It took rescuers 2 minutes to pull the man into the helicopter as they flew over the lake. He was then flown to a hospital where he underwent surgery. A video showed his face, arms, and his upper body covered with blood. And he was totally in shock.
Yeah.
He's lucky. A caldera is nothing to be messing around with.
Right.
Like, It's like I said, it's the top. So when a volcano, we think of a volcano as pointy. When it blows, then that top part, the pointy part.
The cresty part.
Goes away. And then you end up with a caldera, which is kind of like a bowl. But they can be very steep and treacherous.
Yeah.
And over time, if the volcano is sleeping, it, you know, a little ecosystem kind of develops around that. But it's not very easy to get in or get out of it.
Yeah,
because the walls are so steep.
Steep and relatively smooth as far as a volcano goes.
And sometimes it's you know, the water has things in it that may not be good for people to be in contact in.
Yeah.
You know, so it's amazing that this guy survived a 1,200 foot fall.
Wow.
Yep, he's still here.
Wow.
Skinny jeans, man. You made it. What do you have?
I have some barnyard news.
Oh, cool. So barnyard news, we like to report on some animals that are in the barnyard and other animals not in that barnyard, but still
in
the news.
Yes, this is an animal from yesteryear.
Is it a dodo?
What? This is
from last week.
This is an animal that once was in the world and is no longer. It's extinct.
We should pour some out.
And they found a fossil. It's a winged serpent fossil.
Are you serious?
Was found in a 5-million-year-old sinkhole.
Yes. What? This is cool.
Yes. All right. Yes, yes.
Yay.
In Tennessee, at a spot dubbed Gray Fossil Site, scientists have unearthed the fossilized remains of an ancient winged serpent, among hundreds of other snake bones.
Ooh. This is awesome.
Yeah. Though it may sound like the stuff of nightmares. We think it's cool.
I think it's cool. But why is it nightmares to me?
What, a flying snake?
Yeah. I could have a friend. You know? He's attacking people. A lot of things fly. I'm not freaked out by them. I'm not freaked out by snakes.
Yeah. So it says the snake's vertebrae are key to classification of the creature's fossils.
Mm-hmm. That shows its snakitude.
Yeah, snakes don't have arms or legs, but they have a high number of vertebrae. And there are often the bones that paleontologists are used to identify fossil snakes. So this particular...
It's a basilisk.
What?
Maybe it's a basilisk.
Yeah. Yeah. So this one, there's wing-shaped projections on the vertebrae sides where likely where back muscles attach to the spine. So right
cool.
where... Yes. So the back muscles had wings coming out.
Right below the head.
Yeah.
Nice.
I thought that was fantastic, just the idea. The wings itself were about 12 to 16 inches, so small snakes.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine, and they said that they most likely lived in fallen leaves and ate insects.
Okay. That doesn't sound very threatening.
Yeah. But there's some small flying snakes.
Serpent.
Yeah.
That's cool. Do you ever remember seeing a movie called Q, the Winged Serpent? Like, that came out in the late 70s, early 80s. It was a terrible movie about a winged serpent that, like, took up residence in, like, the Empire State Building or something like that.
What?
But they just couldn't figure it out.
Nobody could find out where he went in the Empire State Building.
But it just kept coming along, and it was funny because it's one of these like late 70s, early 80s movies. So it basically just went around eating rich people. So people were like, yeah. You know, so people were on top of their roofs, you know, sunning themselves.
Okay.
Before they go to the Hamptons, and then the winged serpent would come down. It's called Q, the winged serpent. So as a kid.
So how big was it?
It was maybe about 30 feet.
Okay. And but where did it come from?
We don't know.
It just lived in the Empire State Building. We don't
know. You know, it just lived in the Empire State Building and it ate rich people. Not a bad thing.
So were people happy about it?
You know, it was New York. So in movies that take place in the 70s and early 80s in New York, people are like, screw this, man. I got to get to work.
Yeah.
Like, they don't really care what's going on.
Yeah.
All right. So I found, during my master's program, I met some younger people, some people in their 20s.
Okay.
And they are using some new dating apps that I was not aware of. So I decided to do a little survey. So the one that I heard about from a guy in my program is called Bumble.
Bumble?
And I'm like, that doesn't sound good. So it's like Tinder. It only is designed to navigate around the common harassment, like annoyances, from men and silence from women. So they want to make it harassment free.
Okay.
But then they want women to feel comfortable speaking up.
Okay.
So those are the problems with Tinder. The whole point is to make connections between new people. So once two people swipe right and mutually opt to initiate a connection, they're added to each other's hive.
Yeah.
It's called Bumble of connections. But there's a catch. The woman has to say something first.
Oh.
Within the first 24 hours or the connection disappears. All the power is in her hands. There are some loopholes, though. You can extend a connection for another 24 hours based on the profile if you feel that she's the one.
You know.
You're uno.
Wait a minute. So now the guy wants to connect with you and lets you know.
No, you both signified
that you're interested.
You're interested in each other.
And then
you have the woman, you have 24 hours to respond. If you don't respond, it just disappears.
Yeah.
But if the dude is really like, come on, maybe you're on vacation, whatever, mm-hmm. he can request another 24 hours for you to respond. The guy who I talked to, he seemed to like it. He was a nice guy, and he thought he liked the idea that the woman can choose if she wants to contact him or not. That way he doesn't feel awkward about it.
I don't like that. I like being talked to first. I mean, would you like to be the one like, hey, you?
Oh, I think people are getting harassed the other way.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Would I like to be the one to choose? Yeah, probably. I mean, mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. There's another one called Sizzle. I got your attention.
Yeah.
Ooga. S-I-Z-Z-L.
All right.
This might take the cake for most guy-friendly dating app. Actually, no, we take that back. It brings home the bacon. Sizzle is a dating app created by Oscar Mayer.
What?
So Oscar Mayer Wieners.
All right.
That connects bacon lovers everywhere. Aside from vegetarians and pigs, who doesn't love bacon? You download the app. It's only available for 6 months. You're asked about your bacon preferences. This is not an app for dating people. This is marketing.
Yeah.
You make a customizable profile. You upload a photo. Oh, if all those photos aren't just sausages, I'm not interested. You begin swiping to meet other people who have a penchant for pork.
That's silly.
You can message women you find sizzling. Who created this? It's like some guys from the 70s.
That's all sausage party jokes.
Yeah.
And that's all you're going
to
get.
Definitely tries to leave a sense of humor. Okay. I can see that. There's some raunchy ladies out there.
Yeah, you like bacon? I like bacon.
I like bacon. You got some salami you want to hide?
Yeah.
I got a place you can hide it. That kind of thing. Here's another one called Score. Score goes beyond the shallowness of photos and half-assed bios. On this app, you create a unique personality-based profile, including a screen name and quirky important things about yourself. Nothing of this sounds like really revolutionary yet. Score automatically pulls your Facebook profile picture, which you can keep or swap for another, and then you select three more, which are blurred.
Mm-hmm.
Once you score with someone,
yes,
your profile picture will be unlocked. The more you score, the more your profile will open up to your pursuer. But let's backtrack. To score, you can choose a specific category and start answering questions with someone whose profile you scroll through. Score will show how you scored with one another. See, these things are always weird for me because I've been married for almost 10 years now, and I bet you that my husband and I, according to any of these tests, would be completely incompatible, would a lot of my friends and their partners.
Absolutely. There is, it reminds me of the 80s when people loved stand-up comedy. Then everyone started getting up there doing stand-up, and it kind of watered down the whole genre and the whole arts, so to speak. And it just seems like there were a couple of dating apps that were successful. Now everybody's on the bandwagon trying to find different things to...
But compatible. It depends on the person. Like, when I think about the people who are important to me, my friends, family, and there are very few of them, we don't agree. We agree on some basic things. Mm-hmm. Like, on some basic humanity things. But on the other stuff, no.
Yeah.
And I don't want someone who just... We like different kind of music, different kind of movies. Like, that's... I like
You don't have to like every single thing.
Yeah, then when am I going to learn anything new?
Yeah.
If we're always just listening to Bjork all the time.
Yeah.
I like the Bjork. There's another one called Happn. H-A-P-P-N.
Why is everything misspelled?
Happn. Takes a different route than the usual dating app to help you connect with women you've crossed paths with before. That sounds like enemies.
We've crossed paths before.
You do this by keeping track of where you are in real life, in real time. And
only yoga instructors say cross paths. I ran into my yoga instructor.
And enemies.
And she's like, I'm happy we crossed paths today. I'm like,
how
long?
You better go around my path next time. Okay, so when another person passes by a place you've been, the profile will pop up on your feed. So it's not that you guys are in the same place at the same time, because obviously you could figure that shit out yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if we see each other across a crowded room, we don't need an app.
Right.
But say you were in that crowded room on Monday, I could show up there on Wednesday. It's like, hey, you guys were both in this crowded room.
Different days. All right.
All right. Then you can like each other, and then you can send a charm to the lady.
What charm? It doesn't cost
which
any
lets
money.
Let her know you're interested. Yeah.
You know what? I'm not like, no.
You don't have to answer questions or connect with someone who lives across the country. You're matched with women who mostly work or live near you or frequent a lot of the same gyms, bars. If you are already, that's how you meet people. Mm-hmm. I hate to break it up for Happn. But that's how you actually meet people in the old-fashioned sense of it. You go into a lot of the same bars, the same gyms, and you start to notice
people. Yeah.
And then eventually, you start a conversation. Mm-hmm. That happens with friendship sometimes, too.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, I've been seeing you a lot here. And then you, if you see that person somewhere else, you're like, oh, hey, something from the supermarket.
Right. Right.
An app? Maybe instead of using this app, be aware of your surroundings.
Exactly.
Like, that's another way to do it.
Look up from your phone. Look up from your apps and look at the person coming down the street.
Yeah. Here's another one. The Grade is free, female-friendly, namely women not... So, and the problem with Tinder is that women don't respond to men. Right? Have you seen Tinder?
Yes.
A lot of these dudes are not doing anything to get a response. The app was designed to be the opposite. It was designed for the most desirable singles and aims to create a community of desirable, responsive, and articulate singles by expelling those who are considered to be failures.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The Grade uses an objective algorithm to expel low-quality members deemed hostile, offensive, and undesirable. Shit, I'd never be on this. Oh, I'd get bounced right away. Behavior is graded on profile popularity based on if you have compelling content, interesting photos, and how often your profile is liked. Responsiveness.
You see, like,
and message quality.
But for you, if you're looking for one person, if you're looking for a partner, you don't need like 50 people to like your profile.
No, you don't at all. But it says here you get bad grades for spelling mistakes, inappropriate words, and slang.
Yeah. That's like going to be like 90% of everybody.
Yes.
They're all spelling mistakes.
There's going to be no one on this app, the Grade.
Yeah.
Together, these cumulative assigned grades are slapped onto your profile so women can see if you're an A plus or less. Don't worry. Just like college, you can do extra credit to improve. And you'll get a warning if you slip below a C.
Mm.
If it's too demoralizing for you, that's too bad. Basically, it's worth a shot, they say, if you want to meet a potential partner. Ah, this sounds like more trouble than work. Go to the bar, ladies.
Yes.
Go to the bar.
Just have some white wine.
Yes.
And look around.
You know, go with one friend max.
Yes.
Just chill out and enjoy yourself.
So, yeah, and if you are in the real world.
Yeah.
And you're out there. Say you actually do go to a bar.
You will meet somebody.
You will. But what do you say to them?
So okay.
I have 15 easy conversation starters.
Great. Roll it out. Like.
All right.
That was a seamless segue. I applaud you.
Thank you. Okay, so if you want to play it safe and easy and avoid letting him know that you're interested in him or smitten by him.
Why?
Use those conversations on
it. What's going on? You looking good?
Yeah. You know, sometimes...
Last call.
Almost all of the time, all you need to do is look at a guy you like, and then he'll come over and talk to you.
It's true.
You just look at him for a little longer than you should.
I sometimes have made the mistake in my life of not... Sometimes I stare when I'm thinking, and I'm like, oh, shit, he's coming.
No, I literally was
just thinking about the train.
Yeah.
Like...
sometimes the guy you're interested in may not have noticed you yet.
Mm-hmm.
Or it may blink and miss the encounter. You both hardly have a few minutes to make a move. Something.
That's it?
I don't know. Anyway...
This is a
sometimes guys are a little too shy.
Yeah.
All right. And so...
A lot of really nice guys are shy, too, and it sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like, I'm not going to be a jerk.
Yeah.
And start talking to her.
I don't want to... Like, a lot of guys were like, well, I didn't want to bother you. I'm like, well, your fucking asshole friend did, and I helped him.
Yeah.
So now what?
And you're nice and sitting there with your pants on.
Yep. Not getting laid by me.
Yeah.
With your pants.
Okay, so conversation starters. Number one, have we met?
Huh?
Walk up to a guy with a hint of fake recognition. Walk up confidently and say, I'm sorry, but do I know you? I feel like we met somewhere.
Okay.
I just can't place it. I've done that.
A good actor, I've done it too. Excuse me, are you Brad?
I have walked up to people actually thinking I knew them, and I did not. I've hugged a man.
What? Yeah. What was the reaction? It's a dude. He's probably like, huh? Okay, let me just go with this. Go with this.
I was at a wake.
Oh, no. That's okay, though. It's grief. You were overcome.
No, I walked up to a man who I thought was one of the in-laws of the deceased.
And he was just a rando dude?
Yeah, and I put my hand on his shoulder, and I kind of squeezed his shoulder. I'm like, how are you doing?
If I remember correctly, this is the same wake you went to where you had a foxy ensemble.
Yes. Yeah. And he was like, well, hello.
And I'm like, he's like, damn it, that's what they say at a funeral. It's better than weddings.
Yeah. Okay, here's another thing. You could do number two, eye contact and a flirty smile.
Okay.
I don't know how to do that. Flirty
one.
Smile.
I don't know the flirty smile.
And eye contact. I have such a bitch face.
Yeah.
A resting bitch face.
I feel like I'm trying to get information out of people when I look at them.
Yeah.
Like it's a third degree.
Number three, can you help me with this? You go ahead and it could be carrying heavy bags, car breakdown, helping getting someone to open a car door. You know, for you, you can throw your keys kind of under the car and go, as long as you thank him with your sweetest smile, he'll definitely stick around and continue the conversation.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, guys like to be helpful.
Yes.
There are very few opportunities, though, because I feel like women are very independent.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying it's a negative thing, but, you know, I would get my own keys under my car.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah. I don't want anyone. Yeah.
If there are, like, 20 guys in there, I'll be like, I got this.
Yeah.
And sometimes when dudes try to help, I'm like, I got this.
Yeah.
Did you not hear me?
Yeah. Number four, you can say, can I use your phone? Create an emergency, and any guy will gladly.
And you don't have a phone?
Yeah, I know. That's hard. That's a hard one to...
I use all my minutes.
Yeah.
Great. Now you're broke and irresponsible.
Number five, say something to him followed by, oops, I'm sorry, I thought you were someone else.
Huh?
Pretend like you're really busy, tap him on the shoulder and
I'm
start
pregnant.
Talking.
Oh, it's not for you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I thought you were the father of the show.
Number six, smile and use your finger.
Excuse me?
Meaning, flirt at a guy and then, like, crook your finger and go, like, come here with your finger.
Does that work outside of a film? I have never crooked my finger to anyone ever.
Across the bar? And say, come here?
No.
Okay.
I'd be like, yo!
Yeah.
Very feminine.
Number seven, would it be all right if I sat here? Anytime there's an open seat next to a guy?
Would it be all right if you sat there? Yeah, sure. That definitely... That is a conversation starter. Mm-hmm. You're not going to... So if you don't want to start a conversation with a dude, just sit down.
Yeah.
Because if you say, oh, excuse me, do you mind if I sit here? I think a lot of guys here, let's talk, which is fine.
Yeah. I don't like it when a man will sit next to me, like an older man, and he'll just want to talk and talk and talk. I'm like, look, I just want to have my
martini.
I'm
here to get drunk like everybody else, sir.
I don't want to hear your story about polio.
But is that old? About Korea? About the war?
Yeah. I actually had that happen. Guy starts telling me about polio when he was a kid. I'm like, I don't...
Is that his lead-in? And I bet you his other... He's like, I don't know what happened. Did you hit her with the polio story? Yeah. No. Well, there you go. There you go, Alan. That's never going to work. He's broad today. They're not into that.
The next one is to say something like, how boring is this?
What if it's someone's party?
I know. So you're at a party, walk up to a cute guy and say, oh God, how boring is this party?
Or you're at a comedy club, everyone's there to see the comedian, like, oh my God, how boring is this?
Yeah.
This is my brother.
Yeah.
Like, look, I'm just saying.
Yeah. Another one is say hi and walk past him, or just smile.
Hey, how you doing?
Yeah.
Just cruise on by.
About. Keep going.
Yeah.
Just don't give him a chance to respond.
Keep it moving.
Here's another one. Make something fall near him.
Like a person?
Yeah. Well,
trip his friend.
Trip his... Kick out the knee.
Yeah, sweep the legs out from under the person next to him.
So is it more like if you walk past him, accidentally drop a pen or let...
Oh, this is a meet cute they're trying to set up here?
Yeah. Or let your scrunchie drop near him. Who wears a scrunchie?
Oh, my God.
We got the four R's. Rehearse, record, rinse, or repeat. 209 West 40th Street. Hashtag Bump Life NYC.
As long as he notices it, he'll pick it up for you.
No one's going to pick up your scrunchie. They think he has a time machine.
Yeah. I tell you, they've been telling women to do this for ages.
Are scrunchies still out there? I used to rock a scrunchie.
I did.
I wore them. They were terrible. They didn't last very long.
No.
The nice ones were expensive.
Yeah. But you don't wear them outside.
Oh, no.
You wear them in your apartment.
You just play with them in your hair in class. You just keep putting your scrunchie in over and over and over again.
But people have been telling women to drop shit for, you know, centuries.
It's the meet cute, yeah. If we could probably go back to, like, the medieval times, if you were a wench and you're looking for some action.
Yeah.
Drop a dirty handkerchief.
When I was in high school, we found the tips in a magazine. It was like, drop your pen near him. So my friend threw her pen across the room towards this guy.
Did he hit him? That would have been me. The guy said, what the fuck?
Here's another one. When you're out shopping, you can...
And you see a man.
You see a man.
Okay.
You know, if he looks at you...
You're in.
You're in.
Get those digits.
Yeah. This was a thing where they're trying to tell you to hold up, like, two shirts and say, let me hold these against you because you're the size of my brother. Or let me see which... or whatever.
Like, my husband's... Oh, no. Not my husband. Yeah.
Or you put them up against your, if it's for you, like, which one do you like better? Which color do you think looks
so
better?
So you're hanging out in the men's department now, trying to make dudes help you bring out pretend items for your non-existent brother.
Right. Okay. Or ask their opinion. What do you think of this color on me?
I'm going to say, in New York, you do that, it's going to be a gay dude 90% of the time.
Yes.
And you're going to get more information than you want.
Right.
And no phone number.
Right. And then if it's a straight guy... They're not going to want any part of you because nobody wants to hear.
Nobody wants to hear about that.
No straight guys want to talk about shopping and shirts and colors. And
they don't want to be there. They just came in to grab something.
Yeah. God.
This person has watched too many films. So this is how to meet cute is basically what it is. Yeah. Meet cute 101.
Then the last one they suggest say it straight. Exchange glances with a guy for a few minutes until you know he's interested in you too. Walk
you're
up,
like, huh? All right, yeah.
Listeners, I wish you could see Jaquetta's face. She just
I'm sure
did
you
that.
Can imagine it. That's my come on.
Walk up to him when he's alone and just say hi or something like, "I see you've been watching me."
That's creepy.
And then they say, oh, it's flattering and puts any guy in an awkward and happy place.
Gentlemen, please, and we know we have a few gentlemen listeners out there, please let us know if you think any of these things would work as a come-on for you.
Or what's your favorite come-on?
Yeah, for women.
But nothing gross.
Something that actually happens.
Yeah.
Don't say, you know, you get straddled, because that did not happen in Kentucky Fried Chicken. Or maybe it did, I don't know. We're saying, like, what's a regular come-on that the average woman might be able to get away with?
Yeah.
All right, so I am a big fan of whenever there's an environmental intruder, we should put it on the menu.
Environmental intruder.
Yes, so I have an environmental intruder here.
That's a good band name.
Environmental intruder. Chinese businesses cash in on Denmark's oyster crisis. So apparently there's an explosion of Pacific oysters from Asia that are choking up the Danish shoreline and harming local species. So these probably came... Or with a boat or by accident, however species spread.
Okay.
And so they're taking over. They're from Asia. So China has actually said, we will come and eat them.
Oh.
So Chinese companies have come up with a quick fix. They will import all the unwelcome shellfish, and they're going to send armies of tourists to Denmark to eat what's remaining.
You're kidding.
They're going to eat the oysters into extinction. They have like a program. They're excited about it. Chinese people love to eat. They love to eat oysters, and they're more than happy to do a solid for these people who have an abundance of them. It says, we have agreed upon further collaboration to bring Denmark oysters to China, basically. So they said, we'll come. You can sell the oysters to us, or we'll come there and eat them. We don't care. We'll eat them.
I have an idea. We will eat the oysters.
We will eat the oysters.
Yes.
We'll eat them here. We'll eat them there. We don't care. We'll eat them anywhere.
Yeah.
A travel agency has organized a special gourmet tour for Chinese citizens to travel to Denmark, to these small towns that have been, their oyster stock has been decimated. So these Chinese people are saying, we'll come to your town and we'll eat as much as we possibly can, all of the oysters, to help you out. And a website said, let's go. Let's help the Danes quash these oyster invaders. Let's eat them.
Mm.
There are an estimated 500 tons of Pacific oysters choking many parts of the Nordic country's coast, endangering native oysters, and blocking swimmers' access to the sea. Unfortunately, the only predators are humans because they have such a stubborn shell that birds cannot open them.
Oh.
So we got to take care of them.
They need a human
tool. Aided by Chinese companies, oyster resistance campaign is in full effect online in China. On Sunday, the embassy... teamed up with a small town in Denmark to have a live broadcast briefing Chinese internet users on how various ways to eat these oysters.
Sweet.
In the West, pairing glistening oysters with a squeeze of lemon or a splash of mignonette or champagne will make an appetizing meal. The most Chinese people prefer to grill them, covering them with mashed garlic and chili over hot charcoal.
Oh, it sounds kind of cool.
I've never thought about that before.
Wow.
This could also boost demand for crushed garlic and chili sauce as well. So those manufacturers are also happy.
Yes, all right. These incidental markets.
Yeah. It's not the first time Chinese businesses and seafood ravenous customers have helped Western countries out. In 2015, Chinese consumers snapped up 8,000 kilograms of Asian carp from the Mississippi. I think we've talked about that before, maybe. So the Asian carp somehow got released in the Mississippi. It was killing off everything. The Chinese showed up, ate it. And we were thankful.
Yeah.
China has a 1.4 billion population. They consume 4.56 million tons of oysters in 2015. And they also make 80% of the world's farmed oysters. They said they knew that food-related posts would attract attention from internet users, but we did not foresee the frenzy. Of course, we welcome them to come to Denmark and explore by themselves what our country has to offer. So Denmark can say, yeah, totally come eat our oysters, but also check out
our sweaters.
Our other stuff.
Yeah, right.
Also check out, like, our fjords.
Yeah.
Also check out other things. Like, come on. Come eat. I mean, this is really cool.
I think it's great. This is our nations working together
yes,
to solve
you
a problem.
Do what you gotta do. There's just not enough people in Denmark to eat these damn things. And who doesn't want tourists?
Yeah. I think it's perfect. This is great. This is
wonderful
news. I feel
like I should do my patriotic duty and go over to Denmark and eat some oysters.
I think you should, too.
I don't want to leave it to the Chinese to have to do all the work.
Right.
I want to help them out.
Right. You know? We have to change our reputation here in the U.S.
So, on behalf of Denmark, we say, Shay Shay to China. Thank you for helping them out. That's cool.
Yeah.
All right. What do you have?
Well, I have snail love.
Okay.
Snail love. Yes. There's the poor Jeremy the snail. This is all about
first
him
of all,
and his
by level. Being called Jeremy.
Yeah.
Why?
That's a problem. Well, he's a lefty, which means that
he can only turn left.
He's a snail with a rare left spiraling shell, mm-hmm. and he needs another lefty partner.
Why?
Because their reproductive organs are on a particular side. And
to the
they
left,
have
to the left.
Yeah. So you have to have the same spiral going on. And lefties are rare.
Okay.
So mostly go to the right. And so all these righties, they are just
Can you imagine him at the club? Yeah. Just no. No. Look at his spiral. Are you kidding me?
So there was an online campaign asking people to find other lefty suitors.
Help
like anybody.
Out.
Yeah.
Has anybody seen?
Yeah. So they. So people actually were like, oh, yeah, we've got two. Yeah, there were two. Two of them.
Really?
Two rare lefties. Also,
did
were
they
sent.
Like each other?
They were sent to go and woo Jeremy and hook up, but they ended up hooking up with each other and they left him out.
Oh, well, are you kidding? This guy sucks. Are you kidding me? He got left out of the three-way.
Yeah.
Wow.
And well, at first, nobody liked anybody. Like they put all the three of them together, and nobody
put one in there. Obviously, people are not down with Jeremy.
Well, what they did then,
the
scientists put them in the refrigerator to stimulate winter when snails hibernate.
Okay.
Then took them out 3 months later to simulate spring and summer when snails mate.
Okay.
So they're like, it's time.
Yeah.
So the other two snails hooked up, and they left. They ignored Jeremy. They laid three clutches of eggs.
Uh-huh. Well, Jeremy ate them.
The offspring hatched out of the eggs about 1 week after they were all laid. All of them were righties.
I see. They might be messing with nature in a way that nature doesn't need to be messed with. He's just going to not get anything going on. He's going to have to learn how to either please himself.
Yeah.
Or he's going to have to find a lady that's very accepting.
Yeah. So
maybe he can get other things in his repertoire, you know.
Then they want to try some more breeding. They want to get more lefties to breed and,
why?
And try to
Nobody
get.
Nobody wants them.
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
Yeah. And they said in the meantime, I think we'll actually get Jeremy to mate. Jeremy wasn't doing an awful lot, but subsequently he'd been looking a bit more healthy.
His confidence was shook after that.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, the other two are doing all right. What about them?
Yeah, they're fine. They have all their
Gerald and Abigail or whatever.
Yeah.
Right. And their family.
Jeremy.
Hey.
Hey, You Know It is a free podcast, free of charge, FOC.
Free as a bird, free falling even. Well, it's free for listeners.
We put a lot of hard work into this.
Editing and online hosting is frankly thirsty work. It gets pretty dry in this studio. And you know we love a tasteful white wine. If you like our style, consider buying a gal a drink. We've added a PayPal donation button to heyyouknowit.com so you can show us some love with a one-time or recurring donation to cover a little something from the vine.
For $5, you'll be hooking us up with a happy hour glass of tasteful white wine, a 4-ounce pour. For a 10 spot, we can split a bottle of wine from the bodega across the street. For $15, we can kick it with a jug, because who are we kidding? For $25, you'll be making our dreams come true with a box of tasteful white wine concealed with a Mylar skin. Box of wine.
So I found this online, the 10 most popular diets of 2016. I'm not dieting anymore. I don't care. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to eat healthy and, you know, try to live a fairly clean life. But so here are 10 diets I found out there. One is the GOLO diet.
GOLO.
30-day rescue plan claims to reverse insulin resistance, boost weight loss, reshape body. This is in 30 days. Get rid of belly fat, lower your metabolic age. Mm-hmm. But there's three huge components. Supplements.
Is there going to be an app to match you up with the same person that who have the same metabolic age?
Metabolically, I'm 42.
Yeah.
Me too.
So you get a metabolic fuel matrix, which is a specific meal plan, and a GOLO roadmap that includes an online forum to chat with others on the diet. If I need to chat about what I'm eating, there's a problem already. Like, I need to just be able to put it in my mouth.
Yeah.
And get on with it. The next one is a taco cleanse.
Oh.
Apparently Jennifer Aniston swears by it. I don't think Jennifer Aniston has eaten anything since Friends. That's solid.
Yeah.
We put this oddly satisfying health-conscious meal plan on for a week. It requires you to eat tacos for every meal. Tacos. And that's the
that's
diet.
That's it? And she just like, oh.
Yeah. I mean, she probably eats a taco that's probably the size of like, you know, it's like the tortilla is the size of a 50-cent piece.
Yeah. And she probably, if there's no cheese, yeah, there's
just,
no dairy.
Just a single bean goes in. Yeah. She eats that and then she's full.
Yeah.
The next one is a military diet substitutes. Crash diet. It's a meal plan about getting the bare minimum. Here's what you eat. Coffee or drink. Grapefruit.
Oh.
Peanut butter.
Oh.
Canned tuna. Eggs. Whole grain bread. Banana. Green beans. Carrots. Broccoli. Cheddar cheese. Cottage cheese. And saltine crackers. That's it.
That's it? That's not bad.
I don't know how that's a military diet, though. I'm hoping that the troops eat better than that.
Yeah.
Atkins 40.
Oh, God. Atkins, he's still hanging around?
It's still around. It's, again, same as it was, low carb. The ketogenic diet foods, extremely high fat diet. I feel like I got that covered.
Yeah.
If you try this out, 10% carbs, 20% protein, and 70% fat. The catch is it has to be good fat, like avocado and nuts. Oh.
Yeah.
Maybe a chocolate bar.
Yeah. That's the problem with that.
Cheetos. You can have rice, pasta, beans, bread. No, you can't.
No.
No pasta, no rice, no beans, no bread, no sugar. Basically vegetables, but you get to eat bacon and ranch dressing.
That was big back in the 90s. Everybody was doing Atkins, and the guys were like, yeah. And the guys did lose weight, but they were eating bacon and Taylor ham.
That's not good for you.
Though. No, it's all not good for you. So
here's one. It's a disassociated diet. I think you talked about this before. You can't consume acids with alkaline. Basically, food combination.
Yes.
It was a Suzanne Summer who was doing that for a while.
Oh, yeah. The summer sizing.
Yes. Summer size.
Which actually, it was, you could lose weight.
Yeah. It just was very difficult to keep those combinations together because a lot of the combinations of foods that we really enjoy or in opposition to that.
Right. So you eat, like the example is fruit on an empty stomach and you don't mix it with anything.
Yeah.
And then you can have bread and vegetables but no fats. And then
just maybe meat on a stick.
Yes. Yeah, so yeah. Right.
There's another one called The Wild Diet based on a book by Abel James. It goes beyond paleo. It supposedly beat cravings and drop 20 pounds in 40 days, which is unhealthy.
Yeah, you can't do that.
So you're basically just eating whole foods and feasting on it. You don't restrict calories or cut out a food group. There's also a pizza diet. Speaks for itself. I like this one. I've done this before. It did not result in weight loss.
Yeah.
The Dukan diet. You redesign your eating habits, high protein, low fat, low carb, and you can only eat 100 foods.
Yeah.
It costs you $30 a month just to talk about it.
Yeah.
And then the last one is the mono diet, where you just eat bananas.
Oh, good Lord.
Like, all day, every day, like 50 bananas. What?
Why would you do that? And how long do you have to do that one for?
Until you die, which probably would be like a couple weeks. I don't know. Until you're small enough to fit in a very tiny coffin. Very tiny
the
coffin.
The most narrow coffin.
Yeah, the most narrow coffin. So what do you have? Advice on Advice is a segment where we find advice on the internet that stings.
And it's unqualified.
And we improve upon it by giving our advice on that advice. Hence, advice on advice. Well, yes. Who's this from?
This is just generic. Oh, actually, no, it's Prudy.
Okay.
Sorry.
It got an upgrade.
Oh, okay. So here is the lament.
Okay.
I'm a male student who has moved in with my parents after finding a summer internship near their home.
Okay.
They aren't charging rent. They cook for me, and they only ask that I help with the occasional chore.
Mm-hmm.
The situation would be ideal if their modest home had more than one bathroom.
Mm.
When I shower before work, my father will often barge in and go number two.
What?
I told him he needs to wait until I am done, but he claims that he has no control over when he needs to go and can't hold it. The last straw was when he brought his breakfast with him in the morning. I had to wait in the shower until he finished eating a full plate of meat and eggs. I told him this behavior is abnormal and needs to stop. My father insists he is in the right, arguing that he is kind enough to let me live with him rent-free and that he shouldn't have to change his morning routine.
I feel so bad for the mother.
My mother is remaining neutral.
She's like, I've been putting up with this BS.
I'm trying to avoid spending loan money on an apartment, but I don't think I can deal with this for another month. How do I get him to stop?
You can't. It's 1 month. You have to deal with it.
Yeah, exactly.
Join a gym for 1 month.
Yeah. Get up super early.
Yeah.
Know his routine.
Well, get up super early, but I know how people are about stuff like that. People are weird about things like that. So if you try to change, because I've lived with a lot of different kinds of people, you try to change your routine, they also will change their routine, so they're still getting in your way. I don't know what it is.
It's true, yes. I've had that happen, yeah.
Because you're like, wait a minute, I'm getting up an hour early. You still feel like you have to come in here and take a dump?
Yeah.
Right now? Yeah. Or these are the same people who you're like, I'm going to take a shower. They're like, I got to go to the bathroom. It's like, really? You do? I think you should try to fake him out and just pretend to take showers and see if he runs in there.
Yeah. Yeah. What is that? What is that he's just like, look.
Why would you want to eat food in there?
Like, yeah, that's another weird. Purpose.
And also unsanitary.
Yeah.
You know, even in your home.
Yeah.
All right.
She says, I wonder if bacon on the bathroom floor is more disturbing than urine.
That's a good question. You stumped us here in the Hey You Know It studio. Bacon, urine.
You don't make clear why you didn't find a way to deal with this when you were growing up, right? But maybe your parents have downsized since your departure. Probably they did so to help pay for you go to school.
Mm-hmm.
I agree that there is something odd about eating on the toilet, but maybe your father is a busy man and wants to maximize his efficiency of his digestive
functions.
He just
sounds like an asshole.
As for his barging in, well, when you gotta go, you gotta go. Here's one solution. Shower at night. That way you can make haste during your morning ablutions. You are now in a countdown situation until you blessedly get back to school. If this is the worst thing you ever have to endure, consider yourself lucky.
Yeah. I think she's right. Yeah. So try to alter your routine. I understand what he's asking, though. He's like, what the hell?
Yeah.
You know, like, why do people do things like this? Maybe he wasn't raised in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like,
why is his parents doing this
like
now?
Like, they're all adults and everyone should be, you know, exhibiting a certain level of respect.
Yeah.
Why would you eat a meal, though? People have a lot of just disgusting bathroom habits.
Yeah. I don't know anybody who would bring food into the bathroom.
Me either.
That
I don't know why. Just wait. You don't want to bring it in there. It's dirty.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And just, where are you gonna put it? What else is this guy doing?
Yeah. Well, he's got a problem. People have issues with that. I would say, I think one of the problems in the U.S. is, this is a design problem, and I saw this a lot in Europe. The toilet needs to be in a separate room.
Yeah.
If you can. And I think most houses could handle it.
Yes,
you could have a separate room, a WC, mm-hmm. a water closet, with a sink, with a little, you know, where you can wash your hands, and then have a shower and
right. So you can sink. Do, yeah.
So you can do that. I don't know why more people don't have the powder room. It's a in the South you can see it a lot. I don't see it so much up north. I know it in apartments it's a constraint for space, but you could still just partition.
Yeah.
And have that be a separate room. Because if you only have one bathroom, you need to have more options.
Yeah.
Right? So we've talked a little bit about the boogeyman before. This is not really it's kind of like a mini tale from Dirk Campfire. I just wanted to follow up on it. We talked about the boogeyman, what the boogeyman is.
Right, the boogeyman. We're constantly as children.
Yeah.
The parents say, you better, you know, go to sleep or whatever, the boogeyman's going to get you. Yeah. Gotta be good, the boogeyman's going to get you.
But we don't know what the boogeyman is. Does the boogeyman live in the woods? Is he in your closet? Is he under the bed? Is he all of these things?
How does he know you're being bad?
How does he know he's being bad? Are the parents, I'm like, my idea was like, are you sicking this thing on me? Are you guys working with this guy? Because you seem to know a lot about him.
Yeah.
So a boogeyman. So, boogeyman is a cautionary tale told to warn against bad behavior for children.
Okay.
Parents tell these stories. Don't misbehave, as we said, the boogeyman will get you. We've all heard of the creatures and the monsters that will catch a naughty kid and make them their dinner. So, I would hear that, too. They would get you. They'd eat you.
Yeah.
Right? Generally, cautionary tales are used to bring awareness to a moral issue, and it's a way of shaping society's, shaping youth to keep them safe from things deemed harmful. The only thing that was harmful was us staying up all night. This, and it's very difficult. As I get older and I've worked with kids, I have sympathy for children because I was always like, go to bed. They can't. It's really hard for them to go to sleep. If they're not tired, it's not going to happen. You know what happens when you're not tired and can you lay in bed? You freak yourself out.
Yeah.
You start talking, you start thinking about all manner of weird shit.
Yeah.
In your own life, and then it goes to paranormal stuff. You just get more and more
and you're looking
out
at the shadows in the room and hearing the sounds.
And people are forever that, you know, I'm turning off the light. It's like, you don't remember being a kid and being scared. Mm-hmm. Put a nightlight in that place. Like, be kind.
Mm-hmm.
Let the kid have the door open a little bit. Whatever it is that will help them get to sleep.
Right.
And boogeyman doesn't help. So, boogeyman is an allusion to great power. The creature has no appearance, makes no specific choices. He is merely the vessel for the most basic of cautionary tales. That's why we don't know what he looks like. It's just don't misbehave or the boogeyman will get you. Just don't misbehave.
I always thought he had kind of like a tattered top hat.
That's classy.
Yeah.
Tattered. In suburban New Jersey?
Yeah.
He was coming from like the 18th century.
Yeah.
Was he wearing a suit?
He had a jacket. Yes, he had a jacket. But again, it was all, like, tattered and dirty.
So it was in disrepair.
Yes.
It was shabby.
Yes.
It said children are classically terrified of monsters that live under the bed in the closet. And so that manifests itself as the boogeyman.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps because of this, scary stories highlight the boogeyman as being in these places, that they grabs your feet, is underneath the bed, and that kind of stuff. Depending on where the story is told, the creature will steal the misbehaving child. Some will eat them.
Yes.
Others take them and turn them into other boogeymen.
Oh, God. No, yeah. I never heard that one.
In Japan, the tengu has only 7 days, that's their boogeyman, to either make another tengu or let the naughty child return chained forever. So they would hold on to you for a week.
Ooh.
The boogeyman's purpose throughout the ages has been to establish order, caution children, and to aid parents in discipline.
Mm-hmm.
So they have here, in the Arctic, it's called the Kualupuliat.
Kualupuliat.
So these are, in Japan, the tengu. In Australia, the bunyip. In the Mediterranean, the genie.
Now, I just laugh if a bunyip.
In Russia, it's Baba Yaga.
Oh.
And in Jamaica, it's the duppy. So we have talked about the boogeyman before.
But Baba Yaga, I beg to differ, because Baba Yaga is a specific witch.
Yeah, but is she not to establish order and caution children?
Yes, but she's a witch, though.
She's a witch, but they're saying that boogeyman, I guess, is a blanket. This is big tent boogeymanism.
Okay.
Right? Anybody can be under this umbrella. And I think I haven't done my research on these other things. The genie I know, the bunyip, the Baba Yaga, and the duppy. The tengu I don't know, and the Kualupuliat I don't know. But I bet if we looked at all of these things, they would have those same qualities of kind of being amorphous, being used to establish order, to caution children, and the parents are the ones that can sick these things.
Oh, interesting,
onto them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's, I don't know, I thought that was kind of cool.
That is very cool.
All right, we're done.
Hey,
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at HeyYouKnowIt.com. Thanks.